You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we focus on a portion of Psalm 119, but before we get there, though, let's know the great importance of God's Word. Let me give you five reasons why it is so important. First of all, the Word of God is God-breathed, so it came right out of the mouth of God. Second, the Word of God came from God to us as the Holy Spirit worked in conjunction with the Old Testament prophets, with our Lord Jesus Christ, and also with the apostles. The Word of God tells us the truth about so many things, but especially about God creating, about the reality of our sin, and about the reality of God's great work to take away the sin of the world. The Word of God is also the means through which God worked in order to make us his holy children. So important. And then number five here, the Word of God is the means through which God continues to work in our lives. And he wants to do that every day as we are in the Word of God every day. And he wants to work in our lives to curb our sin, to keep us looking to Jesus as our only Savior, and to guide us in how to live as ones who know him as our Savior. Today we do focus on a portion of Psalm 119, but let me talk a little bit about the psalm before we get into the section. So Psalm 119, it is the longest chapter in the whole Bible. So I hear a big sigh. No, I'm not going to preach on the whole chapter. Don't worry. So not going to do that, but thinking about the psalm, though, 176 verses in this one chapter, and probably Dr. Luther, having been an Augustinian monk, he probably had the whole thing memorized, having gone over it over and over again, living in the monastery. Also thinking about the psalm, it's based on the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So what the psalm writer did is he took each letter and then he wrote eight verses. And each first word in each verse begins with that same letter. So imagine trying to write eight things, and they all start with the letter A, eight more things, they all start with the letter B, eight more things, all starting with the letter C. That's what we have in Psalm 119. So in the Hebrew, the first three letters are Aleph, Beth, and Gimel. We're going to focus on the Beth part of it, so not the first eight verses, but the second eight verses of Psalm 119. The entire psalm is focusing on the Word of God and how important it is. So as we come to the psalm now, may God use his word in us so that we can then in turn use that word in order to fight off the devil and the world who are trying to lead us to sin and ultimately to lead us into eternal condemnation. Going back to the psalm, we're coming to verse 9, and it goes like this. Now, as we go through here, these are things that the psalmist is praying to the Lord. So Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure by keeping it according to your word? Why would it address a young man? Typically, young people are less experienced, not quite sure what to do. So talking about young men, we could include young women. But for all of us who are older, do we have it all figured out? Do we know what to do apart from the Word of God? No, we don't. So maybe especially the younger people, but for all of us, so we desperately need the Word of God. What about with unbelievers? How do they tend to live? They tend to live for themselves, while those who are believers, at least according to their new nature, they desire to live for God. When it comes to the tendency as to how we live, the Bible has this instruction in 1 John chapter 3. It says, "Let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil." May God help us to have that firm relationship with Jesus, and may that show in our lives as we are going forward practicing righteousness. The psalmist went on in verse 10, "With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments." He could have said, "Do not let me wander from the authority of your word." For people who know they are sinners and believe in the Lord, those are people who seek the Lord. For those who don't know they're sinners, they're just going through life and not seeking the Lord. They could care less in most cases. But for those who know about sin and they know the Lord, they have a relationship with him, they are seeking him. And how do they seek him? They seek him with an attitude of repentance. So they are seeking him with sorrow, and they are looking to him for mercy. The psalmist went on and wrote, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." We could say regarding treasure, it's kind of like a buried treasure that the psalmist is talking about, something that is near and dear to him. When we treasure something, we want to hold on to it in such a way that it can never be taken away from us. So when it comes to the Bible, God wants us to treasure it. What is the best way to treasure the Word of God? By putting it to memory. Think about back in World War II, when the Christians were greatly being persecuted in many places in the world. And how do you deal with a Christian? You rip the Word of God away from them, because the thought was, if we can take the Word of God away from them, then they're going to forget about the things of God. They're going to focus on their suffering. Maybe they're even going to curse God, and they're going to forget all about Jesus Christ. But what they didn't know, though, is that many of the people had taken parts of God's word and they had written it upon their hearts. They had memorized it. So even though the written word was taken from them, they still had God's holy word. And that is something they very much were treasuring at that time, when they no longer had a Bible to be able to go to. When it comes to the Word of God as well, what is the Holy Spirit doing? He's working through the Word to guide our living, and he's also working through the Word to convict us when we fall short of what his Word says for us. Going to Dr. Luther, he made this comment in the Large Catechism: "We should daily be engaged with God's Word and carry it in our hearts and upon our lips." Excellent advice from Dr. Luther. The psalmist went on in verse 12, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." In other words, teach me your laws. Why do we want to know the laws of God? Again, going to Dr. Luther, he commented, "Because you, the Blessed One, bestow blessing, I want to be taught by you, for you are such a lawgiver who gives blessing." So Dr. Luther realized that God is a God of great blessing. So when we look to him, blessings will come from him to us. Think about it like this in a more practical way. In the world, someone might be a successful financial expert. So someone might go to that person and say, "I know that your words can make me rich, so I am eager to learn them." How can we apply that here to the Word of God? The psalmist could have said, "Lord, I know that your words will richly bless me, so I am eager to learn them." We're going to come to that more here in a few moments. Going on to verse 13, it says, "With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth." He could have said, "I have told of all the orders of your mouth, all of the judgments of your mouth, all of the laws of your mouth," is what he's talking about here. As we think about the Word of God, It is important that we speak it, but there are some things that are important for us to do before we speak it to others. We pick this up from the book of Ezra, so it's telling us there that it's important that we know the Bible is God's Word. It's important that we study it thoroughly, and it's important that we put it into practice in our own lives. And then after all of that, then we are finally ready to share that Word of God with other people. Thinking about some of the instruction that the Lord gave to Ezekiel, so God was telling him to go to my people who are in exile. And the Lord said to Ezekiel, go there and tell them my truth, whether they listen or not. I need to keep that verse in mind, because what do I do sometimes? I'm thinking about other people, and I presume that they will not listen, so I decide not to go. Is that a good thing? By no means. God is saying, for me and for us, He is saying, go tell my word to other people and let me take care of the rest. Don't presume they won't listen. Go and tell them. Again, I will take care of the rest. How important is it that we share the entire word of God with people, not leaving anything out on purpose? Think about what Paul said to the pastors serving in Ephesus. So Paul was traveling. He was near Ephesus, so he called all the pastors to gather together. He would see them for the last time, and he said to them, I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So Paul was saying to them, men, you are pastors, and I have taken everything I know, the good, the bad, the difficult, the ugly, everything from the Word of God, I have imparted that to you. So I'm free. I'm innocent here. Your blood is not on me. But what Paul was saying to them, now you have the responsibility to take the full Word of God and give it to other people. And if you don't do that, if you simply tell them the nice parts, if you simply tell them what they want to hear, then their blood will be on you. Going on in the psalm, coming to verse 14, he prayed, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. He could have said, I have rejoiced in your solemn declarations as much as in all riches. So why did the psalmist rejoice here? He did because his heart was fixed on what is important. His heart was fixed on what is eternal. Don't most people probably major in the minors, we might say? In other words, people are so wrapped up with things that are unimportant that it consumes their entire life and they never get to what is actually important. Or how many people are so wrapped up in the temporal that they don't think about the eternal, they're not ready for the eternal, and they're going to be in trouble when it comes to eternity. It can happen so easily to any of us, especially in the very busy world in which we live. God is saying to us, don't let it happen to you, don't let it happen to me. Going on to verse 15 then, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. Another way the psalmist could have put it, he could have said, I will meditate on your rules to regulate thought and behavior. Or he could have said, I will meditate on your word as the supervisor of my life. When we think about the idea of being a supervisor, think about people who are workers and they have a supervisor that helps them know what to do and keeps encouraging them along in their task. If you pull the supervisor away, do the workers tend to just keep doing exactly what they should be doing? Yeah, probably in most cases, probably not. So we need God's word as a supervisor of our life. It's something that God wants to use to bless us. So let's go to a passage here in the book of Joshua, and we have the Lord speaking to Joshua. Moses has recently died, and the Lord is giving Joshua some very important information as he is about to lead maybe 3 million people or so into the promised land. He said to him, "This book of the law." Now, when he said that, all that was in existence at that time were the first 5 books of the Bible, but really he's talking about the entire Bible here. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." In other words, he meant you should not stop talking about the Word of God. So this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So important to meditate on it. And then the Lord told Joshua why that's important. He said, "You shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." So God is saying, so important that we grab a hold of the Word of God, that we read it, that we carefully think about it, and we do that for the purpose of putting it into practice. And then how does God encourage us along in that? He said to Joshua, when you do such things, read it, meditate upon it, put it into practice, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. How many here would not like to have prosperity or success, not in worldly ways, but in godly ways? Who would not like that? Okay, I'm glad I don't see any hands. That's good news. We come to the final verse now here of this section. So we're in the Beth section, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The last verse is verse 16. The psalmist prayed, "I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word." In other words, he was saying, "I shall take great pleasure in your statutes, great pleasure in your laws. I shall not forget your word." These are some reasons that we should delight in God's word and not forget it. So now we back up a little bit before Joshua, and we're thinking about some of the final things that Moses said to the people just before he died, just before Joshua took over. Moses said, "The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, all these laws." And then he told the people why we are to observe them, in order to show our fear of God. And by doing so, that is for our good, and that is for our survival. Don't we want things to come to us for our good? Don't we want to survive and even thrive? We do. So God is saying, when you fear me, when you look into my word, when you respect my word, all kinds of blessings will come upon us. Let me close in this way. I want to go to the People's Bible Commentary here for just a moment and share 3 quotes out of the commentary with you on Psalm 119. It says, number one, Psalm 119 requires meditation. Remember that the great truths of God's word are worth saying more than once. They are worth thinking about. Some people get caught up in this idea that they have to take a lot of God's word. But it's a very powerful thing, though, to simply take one short passage. Hey, here's a passage you can memorize right now. John 11:35. Say it with me. Jesus wept. That's the whole thing. Okay, John 11:35, Jesus wept. The reference is longer than the verse, isn't it? But you just memorized a verse. Jesus wept, John 11:35. Now, if you begin to meditate on that, you're going to get a glimpse into the heart and the character of Jesus, weeping because everyone else was weeping, weeping because Lazarus had died, but he was about ready to raise him back to life. As we take one little passage, and then we carry that with us, and we think it over, God will use that to bless us in powerful ways. The second quote here from the People's Bible Commentary, it says, God's word gives us stability. Very important. God's word gives us stability so that we are not pulled in every direction by pressure from people of the world. So many people in the world, they are unstable in their ways. But God wants us to be built upon the rock-solid foundation, who is Jesus Christ. And the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. And when we are there, that brings great stability. He wants us to have that blessing. And finally, from the commentary, it says, God's word should be read, studied, meditated upon, and memorized so that it is hidden in our hearts for use whenever we need it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. Help us to see how important it is and help us to treasure it in our hearts. Since we cannot keep it perfectly, we pray that you would keep us ever trusting in your perfect Son and his perfect sacrifice. In his name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.